hope you enjoy this message from South City C3, a location of C3 Church, Christchurch.
Friends, church family, isn't it lovely to be together? Today we're beginning a series, which you will see up on the screen, is The Lord of the Harvest. You'll be familiar with the passage of Scripture, where that comes from. And I'm just going to read as it puts it in my Bible. Jesus travelled through all the cities and villages of that area, teaching in the synagogues and announcing the good news about the kingdom. And wherever he went, he healed people of every sort of disease and illness. I was thinking about that. And thinking, wouldn't that be amazing? Imagine what a village would be like after Jesus had gone through. Every disease and illness healed. He felt great pity for the crowds that came because their problems were so great and they didn't know where to go for help. They were like sheep without a shepherd. He said to his disciples, "The harvest is so great, but the workers are so few. So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send out more workers for his fields." So reading this passage, I think it paints a picture of the fields of the harvest and what it looks like. Jesus had demonstrated what it looks like to work in the fields that belong to the Lord of the harvest. So that looked like teaching in the synagogues, announcing the good news of the kingdom, and healing every sort of disease and illness. He's talking to his disciples, and they were his first harvesters. And we're also called to be harvesters. The description that Matthew wrote shows us a few things, or three things in particular. Jesus feeling great pity. Their problems were so great, and they didn't know where to go for help. It sounds really familiar to me of the world that we live in, the society that we live in. Much of our society suffers from these very same issues. Disease, illness, big problems, and a not knowing of where to go with all these things. So the harvest field is still the same. We're called and equipped to work in the harvest fields. We all know we're called. Do we all know we are equipped? Let's look at a few scriptures to remind ourselves of God's promises to us as his workers in the field. And I think that this morning I feel it's just really important that we understand how we have been equipped. Because if we don't think we've got equipment, we won't go out and try and harvest. Matthew 28, 18 and 19, Jesus came and told his disciples, now this is after he had risen from the dead. He said, "I have been given complete authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations." And then a bit further on, "Be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Now this is the one who just said, "I have been given all authority." He is with us. 2 Corinthians 4, 7. "But this precious treasure, this light and power that now shine within us, is held in perishable containers," and I can be witness to that, "that is, in our weak bodies, so everyone can see that our glorious power is from God and is not our own." Colossians 1:27. For it has pleased God to tell his people that the riches and glory of Christ are for you Gentiles too. For this is the secret. Christ lives in you, and this is your assurance that you will share in his glory. So everywhere we go, we tell everyone about Christ. In Romans 8:7, the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. Some of these are really big statements. The same Spirit of God that raised Jesus from the dead lives in us. The trouble is we don't always get the feeling to go with it, do we? But this is a truth that we need to hold on to. Acts 1:8. But when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, you will receive power and will tell people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth, to New Zealand. We are the ends of the earth, aren't we? Matthew 6:10. May your will be done here on earth as in heaven. And God chooses to use us to do that, to bring about his will and his purposes. John 14:27, I'm leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give isn't like the peace that the world gives. So God chooses to work through us. He has equipped us with his power, his peace, his presence, the Counselor, Holy Spirit, his word, his promises, and a hope beyond this world. Pretty good equipment to go into the harvest field. Keeping these promises in mind, don't let us underestimate who lives in us. So easy, isn't it, to underestimate. Let's not understate the power that raised Jesus from the dead that also lives in us. We can become very familiar with the Spirit of Christ living in us. We can become very familiar with the Holy Spirit being resident in us. And the danger in this is we can underestimate who we carry. We are carriers of the presence of God. We're carriers of the scent of heaven. We carry the resources of heaven. Jesus overcame sin and death through the power of God. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And this is who we carry into the harvest field. As the scripture says, not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. I enjoy wearing perfume. I put it on in the morning and minutes later I've forgotten that I've put it on. But that's not really the point, I suppose, but I just don't think about it. And there have been many times that later in the day, someone will say to me, oh, what's that perfume you're wearing? It smells so nice. And especially if I've picked someone up and they get in the car, they can smell it. I can't smell it at all. So it can be with the presence of Jesus. We get so used to carrying him. We get so used to having the perfume of heaven that we don't always understand the effect it can have on those around us. It pervades their world and they're picking up on something and thinking, what is that? They may not ask, but because of us being near them, the atmosphere around them has changed. We carry the scent of heaven. This world is desperate for the scent of heaven. Christchurch is desperate for the scent of heaven. As John Boyce said a couple of weeks ago, we need to treasure the preciousness of our salvation. That was a beautiful phrase, John. It really struck me. How easily we can get used to it. But if we can remind ourselves of the treasure that we hold, I need to be more aware of the preciousness of my salvation. I need to be more aware of who I carry. This world needs what I've got. It needs who I know, Jesus. We're a first aid centre within us. We're like a resource centre. And we need to share what we've got. It's great to have it for ourselves, but it's for others too. It's not meant to be just for us, to go and get a bandage every now and then, to go and get some ointment. There are people out there that are bleeding. There are people out there that are aching, and they long for the medicine that we carry, but they don't know how to ask for it. But when they encounter the presence of heaven, the longing is awakened in their spirit. Dawn spoke about Rahab recently, and Rahab's response to her encounter with the scent of heaven when those spies came into her home resulted in her whole extended family being saved. That's incredible, isn't it? And we know, of course, that she became part of the bloodline of Jesus. Sometimes cooperating with what God is already doing can be offering to pray with someone. It may be in a secular setting in our daily life or in a church setting. So Steve asked me to share a few pointers this morning around praying with people. Sorry, just lost my place. And how to keep them safe, how to keep us safe, just so that there's a good outcome. There is actually a booklet available that goes into more detail if you'd like to have one, and it's out at the information centre this morning, the information desk rather. And I'm well aware that there are many here that are very experienced in praying with other people and could do a lot better at this than I can. But here we go, give it a shot. Praying with someone is a wonderful privilege. It really is. It's an invitation to be a co-laborer with the Holy Spirit, and how exciting is that? My mind goes to Philip in the New Testament, how the angel of the Lord told him to walk down a particular road, and then he is directed to go get alongside a chariot that was traveling along, and the man inside was reading. And so Philip was directed by the Holy Spirit, and then after that man had been baptized, well then the Holy Spirit picked up Philip and took him somewhere else. But that was cooperating with the Holy Spirit. I haven't ever had an experience like that. But he does invite us into what he's doing. We're part of the plan by invitation. So our desire is to be obedient to the Father, isn't it? And to be in agreement with his purposes. So in all things, Jesus is glorified. And we totally rely on the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And results are not dependent on us. So that is a huge relief, isn't it? Praying with someone is love in action, meeting the other person's needs with God's resources. Love is our motive. Often the Holy Spirit will use and develop gifts that are in us. Or it can be a discovery journey. finding out what gifts are in us. I've found on occasion that the Holy Spirit will harness empathy in me, and a person's situation will really touch me. And that's not a bad thing. We read earlier about Jesus being moved with pity, moved with compassion. And that led to an encounter with the miraculous. Remember, Harry had compassion for the people who had followed him for a few days. They'd eaten all the food they had and they were hungry. Well, that compassion led to a miraculous moment where he took the little bit that someone had and multiplied it. A demonstration of his power to many, but with starting off with something so little. There are many other times that Jesus was moved with compassion. I do remember praying with a mum, just standing over here, and she is desperately trying to have another child, but was being disappointed over and over. And I had experienced disappointment too, at one stage when we were wanting another child. So what she was feeling, what she was going through, really hit home with me. And I found that it enabled me to pray with passion with her and for her. Jesus has been touched with all the feelings of our infirmities. All the feelings of our infirmities. There's nothing that we go through that he hasn't felt. And he's at the Father's right hand. And he's making intercession for us, for the one that we're praying with. Jesus is making intercession on their behalf. That same mother came back to me sometime later, and we could both celebrate that she was pregnant and that came to full term and she had a child. So, but that celebration also became my celebration too. It was wonderful to be able to join her in that. God can introduce into our mind as we pray with a person some word or picture regarding their situation or regarding them. Ask God to give wisdom around that when that comes. It can just be like a hovering word, that's how I find it, or just a sensation, or maybe a sensation, by that I mean a sense of something. And maybe it comes with a little picture or an image of something. The Holy Spirit is so gentle. He doesn't force things, but it's like a little clue. And it's up to us to follow that. And so I found little questions that start with, have you? Or does this? Or is there? Just little questions that can lead to something more. So it's not saying, I reckon that you, we don't reckon anything, but we're being led by the Holy Spirit. And we just want to follow that soft and gentle leading and see where it's going. Things to remember, and this has, anything that I'm sharing this morning has to be adaptable to the situation that you're in. Where you are, who it is, who you are, how God uses you. But of course, if we don't know the person and an opportunity's come up to pray with them, we introduce ourselves, our name, ask their name. Check that they're happy for us to pray with them and not just think it's a wonderful idea, so we'll start anyway. Get their permission. This is a bit of a touchy one. Personal hygiene. If we're wanting to be able to minister to people, and I guess this is really particularly pertinent here when we're ministering with people in the church, but make sure that we've just had a minty or, you know, that we're nice to be near. You could put on some perfume. And just remember, we all have a different sense of personal space. Some people continue to take steps back. other people lean in. But I think it's just be aware that actually you may not know that person very well, and you don't have a right to get in real close unless they're inviting you into that closer place. Have respectful honour for the person who's already made themselves vulnerable to receive prayer. We don't want to draw attention to them because they're already out of their comfort zone. If we're in a public place, be sensitive to the person that you're going to pray with. I could be fine about closing my eyes in a public place, but it may not be too good for them. And actually, it is better to keep your eyes open so you can see what God is doing in them. Love is our motive. We seek the very highest for those that we minister to, respecting their dignity and their freedom at all times. When I've been working as a, not working, it was voluntary, but an assistant chaplain at the hospital, I'd get to go into particular wards, and sometimes the opportunity would come up to pray with someone. And you know, lying in a bed, sick, is a very vulnerable place to be. There's no way you can get up and say, well, really nice meeting you, I need to go. So just being really aware of whether the person is actually comfortable with you being there is so important. So that doesn't have to be an award situation that I'm talking about, just anywhere. Read their body language. Privacy in that situation I'm describing was very important. I'd often say to them, would you like me to draw the curtains around your bed before we pray? They'd usually say yes. But they're already out of their comfort zone by being in a hospital. And because we're offering to pray for them, and maybe they don't normally pray. So just adding to that, so being aware of the person's situation. Make sure that whatever we pray or say is consistent with God's word. Use biblical authority. And it's best if men pray with men and women with women. These are just guidelines. And it's really important, you know, in any time of praying with someone else, not to presume that we know what to pray for them. Even if it looks obvious. You know, there were times that I'd perhaps be beside the bed of someone that had fallen over, broken their hip, had a fractured leg, covered in bruises, and yes, they'd like some prayer. And I'd say to them, and what would you like that prayer to be about? And they'd say, oh, I'm really worried about my cat. Or, my granddaughter's got an exam tomorrow. Well, I'd have to respect that and pray about what they were asking for, rather than thinking, well, my goodness, you're waiting for major surgery. Wouldn't you like me to pray about that? Well, not necessarily. So listen. Jesus was walking along a road where two blind men were sitting, and they called out to him. One of them did. And Jesus responded with, and this has often taken my attention, what do you want me to do for you? And I think, come on, Jesus, isn't that obvious? But no, he was giving them dignity and opportunity to make their own request and not to assume that he knew what they wanted. And, of course, he asked for his sight, and they were healed. But even Jesus, who knew everything, he would ask people, and there's not only one occasion, I know there are several, where he said, what do you want me to do? And I think, you know, there's actually an element of a step of faith in that. of where the person needs, it's like a confession of what the need is. And God responds to that. So I guess really that's, you know, thinking about the cat in the granddaughter's exam or whatever. That's the pressing need that the person is feeling at the time. And I just thought of young Saul, and Harrah's dad said to him, "We've got donkeys that have gone missing, go and find them." And so he went off with a friend, and they thought it would be a good idea to go and see the seer. And of course the seer was the one that heard from God. Perhaps the seer could help them out as to where the donkeys were. And so when they came across Samuel, who was the seer, Samuel addressed their need at the time first. And he said, "Don't worry about your dad's donkeys, they're okay, they've been found." And then he went on to say, "But what you need to know," and he had a word from God for him. So a key word is listening. Listen to what the person is saying. Try also to listen to what they're not saying. We're all quite good at saying something that we think can just perhaps divert or not really hit on the issue, but it will just, yeah, I don't know, we're not always direct. So listen to the Holy Spirit and listen to what our own spirit is saying. So this can be called the three-ear listening post. What they're saying, what the Holy Spirit is saying, and what our own spirit is saying. When a person is asking prayer for healing, I often ask them to put their hand on the area that they're wanting God to touch. And sometimes I might put my hand over their hand. And I've found that simple, everyday language is best. Everyone can understand it. It's so easy as Christians to use terms and phrases that have no relevance in the marketplace. But Jesus kept his prayers really short and simple. Keep our voice volume at a normal conversation level, unless there's background noise that you need to raise your voice. And remember, we carry the Prince of Peace. Often people will experience peace. It's quite a common response after we've prayed with them. Maybe about something else, but they'll just say, "Oh, just feel so peaceful." That is because Christ is there, the Prince of Peace. In the booklet that I mentioned earlier, there are more guidelines, especially for prayer ministry in a church setting. And if that's a desire of yours to become part of that team, by all means, come and talk to me or Karen or Steve, and you can go on that team in time. Soon we'll have opportunity. We're going to put this into practice. And it would be really nice if we can find someone that either we don't know or we haven't prayed for ever before, as far as we can remember. But before we do that, I just want to encourage each one of us to step into any opportunity that the Lord may bring across your path as you go about life today, tomorrow, next week, in the months that come. There will be opportunities. Just sort of lean in to God and be expecting. Be expecting Him to use you. Picture a school playground. Children playing, yelling, calling to one another, games being played, conversations happening, and then someone gets hurt. Usually what happens is that the play stops around that person. Several gather around that child, having a look at the damage. One or two might put their arm around the hurt one. And then they take them to the teacher that's on duty. who knows what to do next. In life, it's like that. Prayer is like that. We can't fix anything for anybody. We can't do a thing. We can listen, we can understand, but like that phrase in the verse I read, their problems were so great, they didn't know where to go for help. Well, we do know where to go, who to go to for help. And he knows what to do next. So our role is like being those children that gather around the hurt one and take them to the teacher on duty. Our teacher, Jesus, is always on duty, and he always knows what to do. Hebrews 4:16, let us come boldly to the throne of grace, and there we will receive mercy and we'll find grace to help us in the time of need. It's a big role that the Father's given us, but he's given us big equipment to be able to do this role, to be effective harvesters in the field. What a wonderful privilege it is, isn't it, to be called by the Lord God of heaven, to be workers for him in this world. What a wonderful privilege it is to carry the Holy Spirit. What a wonderful privilege it is to be equipped with heaven's best. We have Christ in us. He is the hope of glory. This is who we carry. This is our equipment. He will give us what we need at the time. Don't be held back by how you feel, that you think, oh, I'm not very good at this. I've never done this before. This person looks intimidating. Don't be intimidated, because you hold in you what Christ has put in you. He has given you the tools for that person. They desperately need the ointment that you've got. They desperately need the hope that is within you. They desperately need someone who is familiar with the Father God in heaven. They desperately need someone to put their arm around them and to say, I know one. I know one who can help you. Would you like me to pray with you? Would you like me to join with you? You have that in you. Do you know that this morning, that you have Christ in you? You have the power of heaven in you. Oh, Jesus said, when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, you will have power. You will have power, and you'll go out there and you'll tell everyone about me. This is the call on us, people. This is the call on me, and I want to pursue it more closely. I want to be more diligent. I want to be watching out for what God is doing around me wherever I am. And this morning, I just want to encourage you. Can you do that too? That's the call that's on your life. You've given your life to Jesus, and he's ready, waiting for you to come with him on a journey of discovery, a journey of excitement, where his Holy Spirit will use you in ways that you never thought you were equipped for. But do you know, eye hasn't seen, ear hasn't heard, it hasn't yet entered into the heart of man, the things that God has prepared for those that love him. Oh, this city needs to know about Jesus. This city needs what you carry and who you carry.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. To learn more about our church, visit c3chch.org.